Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia Samech Tes, Baba Metzia 69b, pagination is 138. We're starting from about 10 lines down from the top. The last word on the line is Hodra, and we're in that line in the second half of the line with the words Velohi. We're dealing with the topic of ribis, which is interest, that a Jew is not allowed to charge another Jew interest on a loan. And one of the interesting things about this law, which is referred to as a bris achim, a covenant among brothers, is that by strict logic, one should be allowed to get money for giving the money as a loan, because in theory it would be considered a rental. Just like if I rent my car, I can get paid. If I rent my tools, there's such a thing as tool rental, I can get paid. So if I rent my money, perhaps I should also be allowed to get paid. And there's a special rule, which is this prohibition of ribis, a mitzvah in the Torah, not to get paid for the loan, not to take interest. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch and others explore the theme of the mitzvah, and they talk about the fact that a person needed money, and by putting an interest on it, you could literally wipe the person out. It's a silent killer, because it just keeps compounding until the person has no assets. And then they sweep down and do the collections and take away their property and all their assets in payment for this loan, as opposed to this concept of bris achim. It's a covenant between brothers. You need cash, I'll help you out, interest-free. Now, the Gemara over here explores this idea. Why is rental of money different than rental of other items? And the Gemara actually identifies very tangible distinction. The Gemara says, Velohi, they are different. It's not true to compare them. Mara, a shovel, Hadra be'ena, is returned intact. It's the same item, viyadia pichsei, and in addition, it has a deterioration over time. It gets damaged from the rental. It's getting used. In contrast, zuze lo hadri be'enayhu, coins, money, does not get returned intact. On the contrary, it gets switched into a value that's owed, and that value has to be paid. But the coins themselves have nothing to do with what the person owes. V'lo yadia pichsei, and also, it never deteriorates. There's no wear and tear that we could identify. The coins are not what you have to return. You have to return value. There's no wear and tear, and therefore there's no place for the rental. Not logically and not because of deterioration to reimburse. Tosfos mentions an interesting Tosefta, which is actually brought in Halacha. It's midway in the Tosfos Mora, where Tosfos says, Bitosefta, Perek Dalid, there's an interesting rule of Masker Adam Ma'osav Eitzel Shulchani Lehisraos Bahen. There would be such a thing as renting money to a banker, to a money changer, so that he looks like he has some cash lying around, so that people should trust him, because after the cash comes more cash, and that he could learn from them. In other words, like a pikadon, that intrinsically these coins are what I need. If a person needed a prop for a play and they would rent 400 rolls of quarters, so then according to this Tosefta, you'd be allowed to charge rental, even Jew to Jew, because that's a different thing than a loan. A loan is meant to be spent. This is a case where we're looking at the money as a product. And therefore, the renter would be appropriate. The liability, of course, would be different. By a loan, even if an ones happens, no matter what happens to the money, you still owe it back because it's switched into a value. Over here, if armed robbers would come and steal the quarters, the person would indeed be absolved because that's an ones, and as a renter, he's not going to be liable for that. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rava says, Shari le le'inish le'meimah le'lechavrei, a person is allowed to tell his friend, Heilach dalid zuzei, here are four coins, ve'ozfei le'planya zuzei, and I want you to loan money to a certain person. So this is convincing money. This is a gift that will put a person in good spirits, or perhaps maybe reimburse him for his inconvenience, something that's totally not chargeable. But you give him money, you're convincing him, it's a gift. It's harder to understand it in the terms of coins in our society, but certainly you bring over a fruit platter, you're creating goodwill, and according to the laws of Ribbis, that should have been viewed as a Ribbis question, because the person will eventually pay back the money he was loaned, $1,000 for argument's sake, and the result is that the person who lent the money got back his $1,000, plus he got a fruit platter on the deal. But that's a totally different direction. It's coming from a different place. And the Gemara says, Lo asra Torah l'ribbis haba milova l'malva. The Torah is prohibiting money that comes from the lova to the malva, meaning money that's reimbursement on the loan. And this is a whole different thing. This is convincing money. And that coming from an outside party is not going to be a violation. Va'omar Rava said, Sharele le'inish le'meimah le'lechavrei, a person is allowed to tell his friend, Shakilach arba azuzei, take four coins, emorle liploni la'osfan zuzei, and tell a certain person he should lend money. My time, why? Because over here, what's the function of this middleman? Sechar amira kashakil. I'm paying you to talk. I'm paying you to do the convincing. And that's going to be permitted. There's a fascinating Pischei Tshuva in which the Pischei Tshuva Kuf Samach Sifkatan Yud Gimel says that if you give money to a person to convince, and you make it clear that he can keep that money for his efforts, even if he doesn't manage to convince to get the loan, he's just getting it for the effort, then there would be cases where he could even give a zuz, a coin, to the malva in order to do the convincing, even though there was money that emanated from the person who wants to borrow, but since the declaration was made that it's yours regardless to this middleman, the middleman would be able to take a coin and pay the malva to tender the loan, because kenosein ma'os atzmo. He's giving his own money. And this is a combination of these different principles, presumably, unless it would unravel as a harama, as a trick, where the money is being given to him, like a mechiras chametz type of thing, like it's yours, but it's understood that you're going to have to pay money over there, at which point it would have to be revisited if such a concept is still acceptable. But again, if the middleman acts in order to facilitate the loan, that's still okay. The Gemara concludes with a story. Ki hada abba mar berei de Rav Papa avashakel ugna de kira mikirai. The son of a Talmud Chacham took a bowl of wax from the wax makers. And he told his father, Osfinu zuze, lend them money. So he's going out of his way to use his influence to convince, and he was paid for his efforts. Omule Rabbanan l'Rav Papa. So the Rabbanan told the father, Achu b'rei demar rabisa, your son is doing ribis. Amaluhu, and he told them, Kol kihai ribisa nechol. This type is permitted. Lo asra Torah, the Torah only prohibited ribis haba milove lamalva, money that's coming from the lova to the malva, and since he's not giving me any money of theirs, again, the Pesach Teshuva extends it, but in the basic case, no money was given to the father. Hocha schara mira kashaka v'shori. He's getting paid for convincing, and that's an act. That's a middleman. That's a broker. There's such a fee for that. And that's okay as long as the money from the lova is not coming to the malva. And we have to be careful of all kinds of variations thereof. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.